find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
And welcome back to the Elise Blink Show. Live on Sundays, it is Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, everyone. Well, actually, it's the day before Labor Day. Happy almost Labor Day, everybody. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. As you might imagine, if you've been listening to this station for the last couple of hours, it's football season. So, welcome back to football season. That means our show moves back an hour. We're now 12 to 2, all the way through December, with two odd weekends where we don't have football, in which case I'll be back on 11 to 1. More on that later when we figure out what days those are. And it should be pretty fun. All right, phone numbers, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you are just joining us, we're talking today money, real estate, a little bit of an update on the economy, and then I want to do something a little bit fun and shift gears and talk a little bit. I should talk, it's Labor Day, so we should talk jobs and money and economy, and I guess we can do that. We just have an hour, though, because Captain Herb is going to come on, and we're doing a whole NASCAR thing today, but I want to talk about something very personal right now, which is that my son Alex, who you've heard me talk about in WSB for the last a long time, he turns 18 next week. And this is really a milestone. I was thinking over the last few weeks about all the things that go into raising a child from the age of birth to 18. We know from statistics that it costs something like a couple hundred thousand bucks to raise kids these days, and that's even without all the fancy stuff. I mean, just the price of diapers, have you checked lately, and formula, and all the rest. And I was thinking about all these things. You have to, there's just all kinds of things you have to do when you're 18. One of the things you have to do, of course, is you have to sign your own tax returns. And all the money that we have saved in accounts, that all becomes his now. He'll turn 18, and he doesn't even know about most of it, right? So I thought, well, 18, it's a time to take stock. It's a time to talk to Alex about the next phase of money and growing up and what this actually means to him. And so I thought I'd devote, since we just have an hour today, I thought we'd talk about raising money smart kids. I've done a pretty good job. You're not surprised. I know. I can hear you saying, well, I'm not surprised Elise and Sam have raised money smart kids. But 18 is the next phase, right? It's the phase where you start to take over some pieces of your financial life. You can start to build a credit history. You can start to have credit in your own name in your age of majority. You can serve this country. Alex has one more year of school. He's going to be a senior. He'll be one of the oldest in his class. Then he's going to go to college, and he's doing the college application things now, which means that I have to think about financial aid and whether we qualify for it and how all of the things that we've done in our financial life will take Alex and in a couple of years, Michael, to the next phase. And so I thought I would open this conversation up today. And if you have questions, if your kids are going back to school, you've got kids going off to college, you're wondering how to help them with this next generation of their financial lives, I would open up the lines today and say, call in. Let's have a conversation. Ask your questions about kids and money. And I'll share with you some of the things that I've done with Alex and Michael and what we're planning with Alex the next couple of days before he gets ready to go back to school, so that you have a chance to think about the different ages and stages that your kids go through and how money plays such an important part for all of it. I was thinking about this as well because, as you know, I'm the managing editor of the Equifax Finance blog at blog.equifax.com, and Equifax is participating in the Junior Achievement Finance Park over at Georgia World Congress Center, maybe you didn't know. And something like 15,000 kids are going to go through that finance park, and there are several of them around the country. And we've been we wrote about it a little bit on the finance blog, and we're going to do some more stories about it. But I'm a huge proponent of this kind of thing. I think it's really important that parents and kids start talking about money as soon as possible. I mean, really, we were right in there with kids. We took Alex and Michael. I would take them to the grocery store. There'd be, you know, gallons of milk. And you may have heard me tell this story, but, you know, one brand was on sale for, I'm going to make up the price because I don't remember what it was, $1.69. Remember, Alex is 18 years old. This is a while ago. And then there's the other one that's maybe $2.69, and then there's the organic for $4.69. And I said to Alex and Michael, what's the difference between the milk? And they're like, we don't know. You know, there's skim, there's 2%, there's whole. I said, no, look at the prices. This is skim, and this is skim, and this is skim. What should we buy? And we would have a discussion about the fact that if you bought it for $4.69 or $1.69, that was $3. And I would take $3 out of my wallet, and I'd say, this is what $3 is. What else could we buy for $3? And we'd go through the grocery store. I mean, trust me, I was looking for anything I could to entertain my kids and teach them something at the same time while getting the grocery shopping done, right? Every mom and dad who's done this knows exactly what I'm talking about. And they would point out all the things that cost $3 or less in the grocery store, and they would get to pick something to buy, healthy, of course, and we would bring it home and cook it up and continue the conversation. Those kinds of conversations are so incredibly important because it's so hard to attach anything real, anything physical to the concept of money. And I do believe this is why so many people have so much difficulty with it. I was at a party for celebrating the wedding of one of my first cousins who just got married. She's 31. And another cousin, my first cousin's daughter, who's 21, was there. And she said to me, you know, I don't feel like my parents have given me good financial advice growing up. She doesn't have any debt, and she doesn't have any, you know, bad stuff happening. She says, but now I have a job, and I'm making some money, and I want to start putting it away, and all I'm doing is sticking it in a savings account. And I said, bravo. You know, you are at this place, 21 years old, or 22 years old, and you are doing exactly the right thing. She said, but I don't know what else to do. I don't have a credit card. I don't know. I just have this debit card. I feel like I'm not making the most use of my money. And so Dana and I are going to start with Sam, who's also great at this, having money conversations, the kind that she never had with her parents, the kind that I've been having with Alex and Michael all these years. And it's so, she's just craving it. She's like, my brother doesn't know how to do it either. I said, well, it's not so hard, right? It's not brain surgery. A lot of it is common sense. But it reminded me again that not everybody has parents who do this for a living, and not everybody has parents who learn from their parents, like I learned from my mother, and my mother learned from her parents, and so on. Sometimes you just don't know what to do, and so you give bad advice, or you show by example, by poor example. And I can't tell you how many thousands of emails I've gotten over the years from people who have either shown a poor example to their own kids and feel really bad about it, or who are the kids who had a poor example shown to them and found themselves in trouble and were just like, how did I get here? How did I get to this place at this point in time and not find my way out of it? And how do I get my way out? So asking the question is the best thing you can do. How do I fix my financial life? And how do I pass that knowledge along to my kids? And if you're 18 and listening to this show, you're the reverse. How do you start a financial life, and how do you grow it, and how do you impart those lessons to your friends or to your siblings, or when you're a few years older and married with kids of your own, to the next generation? And so today's show, I wanted to share some of those lessons. I'm going to take your calls, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We only have an hour, but maybe next week we'll do a little bit more of this if there's a whole lot of demand. You can always find me online, the website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter while you're there. And you can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And we have a ton of really useful information at the Equifax Finance blog. Jim joins me on the line. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program and happy Labor Day.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What is your child-oriented money question.
She's 10 years old, and I've put away about $5,000 into Disney stock so far, and we've got another $1,000 savings account for her, and really just want to start, you know, 18's going to come up pretty quickly, and probably ought to diversify it more, but I'm not sure how to start putting it in different places and what the smartest plans are.
So tell me, why did you choose Disney stock?
Because at the time it had dropped so low after it during the recession that and they're so diversified as a company that I felt pretty solid that was going to return well, and it has. But now that so much is built into it for her, I feel like I should probably spread it out now a little bit or go to something. I don't know if I'll do a 529 or one of those plans, but maybe I don't know.
Well, let me give you the advice. My grandfather, who was really good in investing, my grandfather had this piece of advice for me, and I think it's really important to have a strategic plan. And his advice was, when it doubles in value, sell half. Right? Whatever it is, when it doubles in value, sell half. Will you leave some money on the table? Maybe. But what you do is you lock in your gains. It's really, if you follow this advice when you're in Vegas, you'll walk away as a winner from Vegas as well, which almost nobody does. But when it doubles in price, you sell half. And when you bought Disney stock, I think for some really smart reasons, and smarter than you even imagine, because as a child, nothing captivates like Disney, right? You've just got everything all over the place. And so if you wanted to get your daughter as a 10-year-old interested in investing, Disney is a great way to do that. There are a lot of other kinds of companies. Coca-Cola would do that. Something that's a brand that's familiar, that's part of her life in a way that's very visceral. Mattel, you know, might have been a good choice too. Disney, though, does, to your point, have worldwide domination and all kinds of stuff going on. And so it's a great way to have that conversation. But my grandfather was all about selling half when it doubles, and making sure that you diversify along the way. Now, we're going to take a quick break, Jim. We got to do some news and traffic, but hang with me. When we come back, I'm going to give you some ideas. I definitely think a 529 plan is a good way to go, but a Roth IRA may also be smart moves, and we'll talk about that and take some of your calls next. Our number, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com, and find Elise Glink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
It's 25 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America one house at a time, one kid at a time, starting with yours. We're talking about raising financially smart kids. It's an honor of my son Alex's 18th birthday, which is coming up next week. We might even talk about this again next week as well. If you've got questions about how to raise money smart kids or what you're doing for yourself, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So I was talking with Jim, who has bought $5,000, or he bought some Disney stock for his daughter when the market had fallen, and now it's up to worth $5,000. He's got $1,000 in another savings account, and wondering how to sort of break it apart and put it into a place where it could be diversified and continue to grow well. And he didn't know about 529 funds. I like 529 funds. We have money for our boys in 529 funds. We also have it in just regular savings accounts, and we have a regular brokerage account. So we have all different kinds of money put away in different places, and I think that that's actually a really good thing. Putting money in a 529 plan is terrific, and you should just do it month in and month out. What's nice about a Roth IRA is you can put in $5,000 for yourself, and your spouse can put in another $5,000, and it's your retirement money, but it can be used, right, it grows tax-free forever, but it can be used without penalty for college tuition, qualified expenses, and then if you need it, it's there. But if you don't need it, it is also doing double duty and helping you have more options and opportunities available for your retirement. And when you go through the FAFSA form for college aid, it does not count against you. It counts as your retirement money, and so it's protected. It's not part of the formula, and that is a really big plus. But I've found that there is nothing better than just socking away every single dollar that you have that you don't need at any one particular time or another, and that's what we've done for Alex and Michael. All right, we've got some more calls. We're going to take yours next, 404-872-0750. Stay tuned to the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. Hey, it's 1236, everybody, and welcome back to the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. So today we're doing something special. We're talking about kids and money and what you can do to raise some money-smart kids. And I've taken your calls, 404-872-0750. My son Alex is turning 18 next week, and we only have an hour today. Maybe we'll do this again next week as well when everybody's back from the holiday weekend. But I just feel like it's so, I can't believe, first of all, I've been hanging out here in WSB for, I don't know, like 15 or 16 years. Alex was so young when I started. And for those of you who have been longtime listeners to me on this show, which has been going on for at least 13, 14 years, and then over when I filled in for Clark, you've kind of watched Alex and Michael grow or listened to me tell some stories occasionally about Sam and I raising them. And now he's 18 and he's applying to college and getting ready to do his last year in high school. And it's just amazing to me how time has flown. But I want to reassure you that when you do plug tons of money away, just basically every spare cent you have, suddenly it comes time for college and there's a big pot there that's ready to spend. So time is on your side when you start young. 404-872-0750. Gordon joins me on the line. Hi, Gordon. Welcome to the program.
Hi, and thank you very much for taking my call. It's very timely, and it really is. It's sort of serendipitous. I just flipped it on. I'm newly married, 51 years of age, and I've married a wonderful woman, and I've got three teenage stepdaughters, a 17-year-old and two 14-year-olds. And
congratulations.
I mean, yeah, it's funny. It was it really is true that they give a lot more to me than I do for them. And
That's a great attitude. Good for you.
Well, thank you. Their mother is terrific, and the father is very much involved. But growing up and being 51 years of age, my parents didn't give us a lot of insight when it came to, you know, a checkbook and savings accounts and things of that nature. And you mentioned the finance village, and then you also talked about some of the things that I should do as a parent to help them understand the nuances of handling money. And I just wanted to see if you could expand on that for me, please.
Well, I'd be happy to. So do you feel like you've done a good job managing your own money as an adult?
Honestly, no.
Uh-oh. What's your biggest mistake that you've made?
I spent too much.
Okay.
Always thinking that things would go up, 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 and then recognizing that, especially starting one's own business, I've learned more in cutting my coat according to my cloth than I ever did when I was making a lot of money. So now, given the chance to be a better financial steward, and having the children in my life, I recognize that, you know, perhaps the sports car is not a necessity, that the college education is. And so I'm not a great example. I've been fortunate, but I'm not a great example of that.
Well, but here's where you are a great example, Gordon. You recognize choices that you made that you wouldn't make again. And transparency, which is great for business, is great for helping our children understand the choices that they have in front of them so that they don't make the same choices that you made. Right? So when I talk to Alex and Michael about the price of a gallon of milk, it's $3. And $3 is $3, right? It's almost meaningless. But $3 every 2 weeks over 10 years is no longer a meaningless amount of money.
Yes,
right?
you're spot on, because it does. It adds up. It's going out to dinner. It's recognizing now the value of pulling from the pantry and preparing our meals, opposed to just dropping everything and going to Mexican food. So we're
right.
Making those kinds of choices.
And so when you talk to the kids about that, and you say to them, this is the teaching moment. This is the moment where it crystallizes, because so much good comes from pulling out the food out of your pantry and making dinner instead of going out. And here are the three big lessons that I see.
Okay.
Number one, here's how much we saved by not going to this restaurant, or this restaurant. And you can even go as far as to pull the menus out,
mm-hmm.
you know, or pull them down line, and literally everybody can talk about what they would have ordered. You can add it up. You can add in the tax and the tip, and you now have how much you've saved, minus, of course, the actual food staples you pulled out. But you can say, this is real money. This is a real and you can spend your dinner hour as you eat dinner talking about that. Number two,
mm-hmm.
dinner preparation can be a family affair. So everybody has to pitch in. The kids are old enough. You guys are old enough. Everybody's got a lot going on. But pitching in means that in an hour, you've got a meal on the table, and you're all talking while you're doing it, and there's a shared sense of community and commitment to building that family life. That's a huge, huge thing. Number two.
Super.
Number three, boy, are you eating healthier.
Yes.
And the kids really appreciate that. My kids are surprising me. I went to Trader Joe's last week.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to buy them some snacks that they could grab that were, I was thinking, were pretty healthy, right?
Right.
So I bought
yes.
the Trader Joe little mini quiches, which I have two boys, so they don't as care as I thought about calories as much. And they're about, I don't know, 300-400 calories apiece. And Alex says to me, Mom, did you catch the sodium and fat levels on those things?
Wow.
I'm like, I don't know. Michael and I were discussing it, and I don't know if we're going to be eating those.
That's impressive.
No. So three really huge benefits, all from the idea that you're not going to a restaurant and taking that way out. And I think that when you focus on those three big ideas, what you're saving, shared sense of community and obligation to the family, and eating healthy, you have now done the triple play while you're basing it on this whole idea of financial management and well-being. And I just think there's so much good that comes out of doing that,
right.
even if you only do it 3-4 times a week.
Right. Can I share one quick thing with you, please?
Sure.
I've been doing those things, and I'm sort of proud of myself to do what you're suggesting. And what I find is, as you know, parachuting into this life of a lot of estrogen, there's a real benefit.
My dad had three girls too. We get that.
Yeah, it's amazing. But I feel fortunate to have stumbled across the program, and I'm going to go on the website and look. And you know, I said to my parents, not that they're bad parents, they're terrific. But if they had sat with me and done the things that both Michelle and I are trying to do, you know, perhaps we'd be better stewards down the road. And it doesn't grow on trees. All that stuff now resonates. And we do clip coupons, and the $32 saved here can go to private school there, so to speak. So thank you very much for your time. This has been great.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening. And check out the blog. We have this whole idea of family money at the Equifax Finance blog at blog.equifax.com, where I'm the managing editor, because I really believe that there is so much that we can do. Just these little tiny things offer such huge life lessons. And over the course of a year, as you're newly married, as you will see in your first couple of years, this is the time where you get to set the tone for the next 20 years. And I was sitting around with my husband, Sam, and we were looking out in our backyard and saying to ourselves, oh my goodness, we've lived in this house for 19 years. Almost two decades have gone by, and our kids are now 18 and 15 and a half, and it flies by. And these lessons, these everyday lessons where you always say as a parent of a young child, the days are long, the years are short, man, are those years short. This is the time to set the tone for the next 20 years for them. And you sound like you're in a great place to do it, Gordon. Congratulations. 404-872-0750. Bill joins me on the line. Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm good. Happy Labor Day weekend.
Well, thank you. My grandson just turned 14, so now his age matches his shoe size. So.
Good. Oh, I have a 50. Alex has size 15 feet. I know what that's like.
Well, I opened a Fidelity account in my name, and I put $3,000 in there because he was very interested in the stock market and wanted to invest. And I says, okay, this is real money. If you make some money with it, you get to keep it. You know, and if you lose it, it's just going to be gone. But
mm-hmm.
he is doing all the studying, the research, and the investing and buying different stocks and things like that. So I've let him, I'm basically giving him a research money that, the research project that he wants to do, and that he's also absolutely in control of, and gets the consequences or the rewards.
So I love that because my grandfather did the same thing for me. So my grandfather, I started the show by talking about my grandfather's way of making money in the stock market, which was every time something doubled, you sold half. And I had this little card. So for my high school graduation present, all I wanted from him was stock. And so he took $200. This was a long time ago, mind you. And we researched it, and I researched it, and we found a company, and we bought shares of the company. And then every day we checked it, and we checked other investments that he had. And it was an amazing bonding experience for us. And it really gave me a sense of what you needed to do. Now, I didn't make a whole lot of money on that investment. I made a little bit. But the next thing I bought, and I'm sitting here right now, I'm holding the card because I keep it on my desk so that I can see it. In 1987, I bought 25 shares of Itel, right, which is a stock that was owned by a company owned by Sam Zell. And I bought it at 25 shares at 14 7/8. And I sold it, went from 14 7/8, I sold it 2 years later for 21. And my grandfather was so excited for me that I had made that investment. And then in 1988, I made my next investment. I bought 25 shares of Intel at 32. 25 shares. It was like $780 or something, or maybe $800 all in. And at the height of it, when I sold most of it to fund our renovation of our house, it was worth $40,000. And although my grandfather was long gone by then, I heard him in my head the whole time, remember when it doubled, sell half. And I sold half all the way up to 40 when I sold all but the 5 shares I couldn't find, which I still have. I found them since, and those are now worth another like $5,000 or $6,000. So there are wonderful lessons to be learned, and I hope that this is a wonderful way for you and your grandson to share what I'm sure is your love of investing as well.
He's learning something.
That's
my best investments. I've done best in dirt.
Buying real estate?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, I bought property in Lake Oconee and held it for 9 years, and it went up 670% in value.
I love that. Well, that's great.
I sold out before the big bust, too.
Well, that's good. You know, timing is hard. People, you know, always say to me, well, how do I time the market? How do I time the market? And I always say, you never really can time the market. I've been very fortunate to have purchased stock, and then the next day it's completely crashed, right? So when I bought my Itel, in 1987, about 3 days later, we had the big crash in October of 1987, and it went down quite a lot. And I looked at my grandfather, and he just said, stay the course, you're going to be just fine. And that's truly what had happened. I heard him in my head the whole time. Thanks so much for your call, Bill. 404-872-0750. We're talking about kids and money. Maybe we'll do this again next week as well. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750 is our number. Online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Check out the Equifax Finance blog for more family money stuff. This has been so much fun. Maybe we'll do this again next week. But I want to get Marion on the line before we end the show. Marion, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Elise. I have a question about my kids. I've got 3 boys, and one's in college. 2 are just kind of going out on their own. And, you know, when I grew up, you had checkbooks, and you kept a register. And nowadays, I can't get them to keep a register. They have, debit cards, but they have the occasional situation where they have to write a check for a deposit or event or something. And we've encouraged them to open a separate checking account. But I'm just wondering, so that when it clears, that it wouldn't wipe out, that they wouldn't, overdraft. There seems to me like there might be a better way, or that you might have a suggestion about what is current conventional wisdom, since no one really uses checks anymore.
Yeah, nobody uses checks. So here's what they might want to do. So you can get them started right now with Quicken Online, or the free version, which is Mint, which is owned by Quicken and Intuit.
Oh.
Mint has some wonderful tools that, and it, what it does is it allows you to put in your debit account and your checking account, your credit card accounts, and all of it congregates together in one dashboard. And so the kids can see all of their money in one place. And that's actually really useful for them. And if they want to transfer money from one account to another, I think they can even do it there. There's also lots of forums and advice. It's good stuff, actually. I wish I had thought of Mint. It was wonderful. It sold for like $157 million just a few years after it was founded. I really wish I had thought of it. But that's a really nice thing to do. Or, like Sam and I have been keeping all of our finances on Quicken personally and QuickBooks for the business for the last, I don't know how many years. I mean, personally, maybe over 20 years now. I feel like it's since Quicken ever got started. It's been a fabulous tool, and we can go back and see what we're spending, and we can do charts and graphs and all kinds of things. It's a wonderful way for your kids to start managing their money, and they have Quicken Online, where they can just do it online wherever they are. And that, for their world, who wants to be tied to one computer when you've got an iPad and a phone and everything else? So that's what I recommend for them. Mint.com. Or QuickenOnline.com. Well, this has been so much fun, everybody. Marion, thank you very much. We have to go. It's Captain Herb. He's doing a special race day show from Atlantis Motor Speedway. He's going to be on next. I'll be back again next week, and I think we're going to pick up this conversation, and we're going to start it all over again. Kids and money, all in honor of my son Alex turning 18. Join me next week for that at noon because it's football time. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you then. Here.